Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland and I'm talking about Cuban medical missionaries and medical internationalism. It's something that's come back into the media spotlight recently because the United States has prevailed upon various countries which are recipients of this Cuban medical aid to terminate their agreements with Cuba. So there have been tens of thousands of Cuban doctors working in other countries. At one stage, there were over 40,000 of them in 103 countries. Not all of them are doctors. Doctors, nurses, dentists, other professionals, mostly in the healthcare sphere, and often in less economically developed countries. And yes, they generally did good work, but it was not as altruistic as Cuban regime propaganda would have you believe, because their money paid went to the Cuban government. And yes, the doctors themselves got a pittance of a salary, but nevertheless, would I want to be saved by a Cuban medical doctor rather than die? Of course. And they definitely alleviate suffering. And the doctors might be actuated by the highest Hippocratic motives. And others, they're human too. They want a better life. They want to get out of Cuba, something like that. All right. And often they went with minders, as in like not really to protect them, to prevent them running away or telling the truth about life in Cuba. So fervent anti-communist though I am, I'm not completely blinkered, and I recognize there were a few virtues to the communist system. So, you know, almost every system has its benefits as well as its disbenefits. All right. So now you could say, like Republic of Ireland, we got the voluntary missionary movement, which had doctors, teachers and all sorts helping less economic developed countries. And, you know, Guatemala or Honduras would be some of those. And it was sort of post-religious. It had been religiously actuated. And there's USAID and the Peace Corps and whatever. There's voluntary service overseas by the United Kingdom. India's got its own aid agency for less economic countries. European Union's got its own one and so forth. But the Cubans like to boast that they have sent more doctors overseas than all the G8 countries combined. And we consider Cuba only had like a 12 million people at its peak. And the G8 countries, goodness, had, I don't know, over something like a billion people, and you consider how much wealth Cuba had compared to them, that what the Cuba's contribution is staggering. And yes, all right, it was mostly for profit, because in the 90s, when things went really bad, one of the few things they could export was their people. But they were doing this from the sort of 1960s. Remember, Cuba was a very undereducated society at the time of the revolution. There was mass illiteracy, and the government set an aim of abolishing illiteracy in a few years, and that was largely achieved. The number of medical staff has gone down. Partly there's less demand for it, the more doctors abroad. Maybe the United States pressurized these countries to end these systems. Now, some people defect, only 2% of them defect whilst abroad. Why? Threats against their relatives, or if they are genuine ideological zealots or whatever, or just Cuba's their home and things like that. They don't necessarily get a better life abroad, and they say, okay, life is bad in Cuba, but compared to other Latin American countries, for example, there was a certain level below which you weren't going to go. You were not going to be homeless, you weren't going to starve, you would have the necessities of life, not more, but that wasn't guaranteed in many other Latin American countries. Maybe in Chile or something, but, you know, not in Nicaragua, not in Bolivia and so forth. All right, so these were their medical missions, and there was going to disaster zones helping out, and they say partly as part of their anti-imperialist mission. And in some countries such as Algeria, after independence, most of the doctors being French left the country. So you see what a calamity anti-colonialism was. It was a sort of a brain drain. These people just cut their nose off to spite their face, which, you know, French rule done so much for Algeria. And there was a bad side to it, too. There were massacres, too. But you see how they'd really helped Algeria advance. And then it was going to, you know, fall back centuries. So when the Cuban army went abroad, so did the doctors. And obviously Cuba, like most communist countries, had a very high per capita number of physicians, partly because you couldn't go into business. You know, so you're gifted mathematically and scientifically. You can't go into stockbroking or investments or merchant banking or something like that. You can't set up your own enterprise. What are you going to do? Medicine's one of the things. Although actually it wasn't considered a high status occupation, wasn't well paid and so forth. Blue collar skilled, you know, technicians, they were better paid and so forth. Now, they said that they were moved by humanitarianism, but that's partly true and so forth. So they went to help out after various hurricanes, the Asian tsunami in 2004, likewise the COVID pandemic and stuff like that. to some of the remote Pacific islands. They went to places like that to help out in Venezuela. But it was a lot of this was informed by politics. And if you had certain illnesses, if you were thought to be a leftist sympathetic to the Chavez regime, you would get better treatment. If you were not, you would get inferior treatment and so on. They were judging these things by political and not medical criteria. In the 90s, they cared for victims of the Chernobyl catastrophe from Ukraine, Belarus, and Western Russia, and so forth. They helped out in South Africa because after the transition to democracy, many of the physicians emigrated. Remember, they mostly came from that white minority, so they helped to replace them. They often served in Hispanic countries because, of course, they could speak the language. In other cases, they're learning French, English, whatever the necessary language was. And they even went to Italy in some cases. For a Hispanophone, it's quite easy to learn Spanish, okay? So I always thought the United Kingdom, one thing it could have done is say, all right, if the Corbyn government came in to help the NHS, we'll employ like 10,000 Cuban doctors. And the individual doctor, he, she will get the medical, get a minimum wage. And the remainder of the salary, we're going to go to the Cuban government. The doctor's going to get 24 grand, another 6 grand to the Cuban government or something like that. So that sort of helped them going. They also had their own Latin American School of Medicine to train doctors from other countries very affordably. So this helped them punch up above their weight. It was a soft power for the Cuban government, the doctor diplomacy in Cold War, to supposedly show that their moral credentials. They could sort of double in espionage. But yeah, I don't doubt there was some real goodness in it. Yeah, and that they really did help people. They really did save lives. But the Cuban government made money. So the United States is trying to stop this because they don't want to cut off a revenue stream to the Cuban government. They say that it's slavery. Well, I think that's largely a lie and so on. It's true that the Cuban government keeps up to 90% of their salaries and so on. Because as egalitarianism, you'll have the basics of life and nothing else. Goodness. So that's it. But it's obviously bad news for these countries, which have succumbed to being strong-armed by the United States to say, okay, we're no longer going to accept these Cuban doctors, and therefore going to be a shortage of medical staff. People are going to suffer. People are even going to die because of it. And these countries, they're entitled to determine their own healthcare policy, their own immigration policy. If they want these skilled professionals from other countries to come and provide medical care, why not? So almost every country has doctors from abroad, and in many countries, Republic of Ireland, they're pretty important. It's like 25% of our doctors from overseas. United Kingdom is something similar. So I don't see why not. So the United States should not be threatening these countries with sanctions if they do that. So there are going to be more people going back discontented to Cuba. And I don't like the Cuban government, but it's by no means the worst. There are many crueler governments the US is very cozy with. For example, Saudi Arabia, even China, even North Korea. I know the US doesn't even have diplomatic relations with the People's Democratic Republic of North Korea or Korea, and just saying, oh, well, you know, I fell in love with Kim Jong-un, this absolutely horrendous, diabolical tyrant. I would like to see peaceful transition to democracy in Cuba. They could follow a socialist path, a capitalist path, a sort of mixed economy. But, you know, they should do so without outside interference. Well, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.